It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Faith-based schools or public schools, which one gets the divine seal of approval? I don't know. When it comes to education, how much influence should religion have? And where do we draw the line? Well, that's what we're talking about in South Africa. We were debating the idea of this new bill called the Bella Bill. And it got a lot of people ruffled up, I tell you. But we're not talking about the Bella now, but we're talking about the tenets of what was in that piece of legislation that now leads us to talk about the education debate. Adventist schools or Christian education. You know, education is education, right? Or wrong? Joining us now is Pastor Pasmo Munga to give us some perspective on this debate. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much, my brother and our listener.
So do talk to us about this. What are the advantages and disadvantages of faith-based schools compared to those that are not, the public schools, whether they are private schools or not, but those that are not faith-based? What's the advantage, or what are the advantages and disadvantages of either?
Thank you very much. I went through public schools, all my life. It's only the two universities that I attended which were faith-based. But from primary school, secondary school, and some colleges I've attended, it was public schools. So I think I can make a better comparison. One of the advantages that we find for going to a faith-based school compared to public schools is that you talk about influence over a positive environment for a child to learn, to grow, and to make choices that that honor God. Right from the beginning, there is that choice in a faith-based school, that you are in an environment where you can learn and you grow to make choices that honor God. And it's an environment that is set up to nourish faith. There are some parents who have gone to schools to testify that when our child was at this school, when we came back for holiday, he was a different child, very respective, very responsible. So those are some, and you learn those things in a faith-based schools. I'm not saying that in public schools we don't learn those things, but there is a lot of emphasis in faith-based schools where morals are concerned. And in most of these faith-based schools, in most cases, the class size is very small, so there's individualized attention. The low teacher-to-student ratio is also appreciable. Then you talk about discrimination. I went to a school at a time when mockery was still there. I don't know whether it used to be there in South Africa or whether it's there, that when these new pupils arrive at school, those old ones would mock them. But in a faith-based schools, that is unheard of. But in public schools, that was the order of the day. Of course, now it's history. Of course, there are also some disadvantages that one can talk about when it comes to faith-based schools. You talk about the inequality due to separation between each denomination. This, again, still has to do with public schools. Having been at a public schools, you could see on this day, these are going to Sunday on church, the Catholics. On Saturday, the Adventists are going this side, and you are with different groups. So you see that inequality. Unlike when you are at one school, maybe an Adventist school where everyone goes to this school, and that is by agreement. Parents make a choice that our child will be attending church. And one disadvantage when I was checking research about faith-based schools is that at times it limits scientific understanding due to impact of religion. At times we tend to separate religion from science, that you just have to believe. You don't have to investigate using science. You just have to believe that this is what happens. So at times there's that limit in faith-based institutions, whether be it in school or colleges or universities. At times that challenge is there. But on the overall, there are more advantages for being in a faith-based school and than in a public school. I remember at a public school, I attended secondary school. On Saturday evening, it was a day for entertainment where you go and watch a film, and it was compulsory that everyone have to go there. And you are in a hall, you are watching a film, you switch off the lights, and you just have a few fuse inside there. The atmosphere was not good. But you cannot find such in a faith-based institution.
So should public schools allow religious teachings or activities, or is that the role of private faith-based institutions?
No, they should allow. Freedom of worship is a birthright.
Oh.
You are born. No one should be denied an opportunity to worship or not to worship.
Yeah.
Basically, because you are at this school that you should not go to, no. Freedom of worship is a birthright. And actually, it helps. It has got more advantages than disadvantages. Because when these learners, when they have got, they go for those church groupings, they learn a lot of things on morals. Talk about ethics. That is so much emphasized. So when they are at public school and they can go to church in those groups, it helps the school authorities, actually. That means you are limiting even a number of offenders because of what these people learn in these institutions. I remember at my school, almost all my 5 years at secondary school, the head boys, the head girls, I think all those that I knew when I was serving there, they were from SDHH and they were a very strong church member. But this was a public school. Why? Because of the way they demonstrated themselves, because of the way they carried themselves. Everyone goes in town or goes everywhere on Saturday, but you see this group of people, they are meeting and they are worshiping. They were very exemplary.
So you're saying an Adventist that so happens to be in a public school should be allowed in that public school to be taught religious teachings. Is that what you're saying? That these public schools must teach the Bible in a public school?
Oh, I see. I see what you're talking about now. Allow religious teachings or activities, or is that the role of privacy? You know, in the first place, when you typically look at it, you'll find that actually even public schools, they teach religion. Because what differentiates them is about creation, the origins. That faith-based schools will talk about creation, then the public schools will maybe talk about evolution. And both of those are religions. Evolution is not a science-based study. It's not an observable science. It is not testable. It's not observable. It's not repeatable. So even if it's a public school, when they talk about evolution, that is also part of, part of religious teaching. But when you talk about origin of human beings, creation stories, creation account, it should be taught in the public schools, because at the end of the day, it makes more sense. It is logical compared to evolution, a term that is forced down our throats, or those who are in public schools, or those who are in institutions that do not acknowledge that God is there. So I strongly believe that this should be allowed, the teachings should be allowed, and also activities. I love your question to say religious teachings or activities, because activities could include these people, the learners, to assemble as a church or as a religious group, and that is in a public school. That is health for the learners. It is also health for the institution. When people do not believe in God and they are told that they don't believe in God, they can do horrible things. And the research is there to testify to that effect.
Yeah. So if we were to turn the tables, would or should Adventist schools like universities and high schools allow Muslim children to be taught Islam and the Quran in Adventist schools?
No, according to our institutions, you have got a curriculum that is tailored according to what you believe in.
I totally understand. I'm asking in the context of you saying we must teach these scriptures because they are just about the same thing anyway. So these public schools should teach this thing. And so if public schools must teach Adventist students these Bible-based teachings, does it cut the same way that these private schools can allow non-Adventists or non-Christian students to be taught what they believe in, Those that believe in Islam must be taught Islam in an Adventist institution. Those who believe in Hinduism must be taught Hinduism in an Adventist institution. Does it work that way as well?
No, it doesn't. Why it doesn't? I'm saying so because I'm trying to be realistic that these faith-based institutions, I remember when I was attending one university in Uganda, we were invited at an Islam university. You are taught there you can't do this because this is what we believe in. This is what in our, at the, you are just going there for a visit, but you are taught a lot of don'ts, a lot of this you can't do, this you can't do. So you find that they have got a curriculum that they teach, which is biased towards they believe in. So they would be very reluctant to teach something that is different from the, what they believe in. And after all, those institutions are established there so that you can propagate your faith. So if they have to teach something else, it's like they are shooting themselves in the legs. And also, so the people who go there, they go there with full understanding. There's a consent you have to assign that I accept that if you go to an Islam university, you are sent. You sign that I agree, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to be in this environment. That means you are not forced, such that when you are there, you can say, no, but me, I'm here, I can't be allowed to do this, or I'm not taught this and that.
So what challenges do faith-based schools face in society that values secularism and inclusion?
The challenge that a faith-based schools face in society, especially those that value secularism, meaning you live the way you want, is that you have got the doing and undoing effect. You teach about the existence of God at school, while secular society teaches that there is no God at all. So you have got the pull and push. A child learns this at school, then he enters in society or in a working environment where people say, no, there's no God, there's no this, there's no that. So you have got that doing and undoing effect. So if the child is not real grounded, some they can lose balance and say, well, I think this just makes sense. There are some who have lost balance. They said, no, what they were taught was this, but when they go in society, there's something else. Mm-hmm. And then they go, they are lost in that way. But of course, there are some who are grounded. What, you don't know, I learned this and it works for me and it is good for me. And then they go. So that challenge is always there, doing and undoing effect.
Final question, sir. How should parents decide between a faith-based education and a public education for their children? There's a general view that private schools that are run by a particular race, they are good, whether they're faith-based or not, as long as it's run by those who are Caucasians, that's a good school. And those schools tend to cost a lot and they have a good pass rate. And then you are proposing now the idea of faith-based education. What should parents use as a deciding tool to decide whether to take their children to a faith-based school or a public school for their children?
Parents need to look at the big picture of education. What is the full purpose of education? Like it is emphasized in Adventist institutions, to teach the hand, to teach the head, and also to teach the heart. So meaning parents need to look at the big picture, that there is life beyond this life. That's what we believe in, and that's what we know. So parents, when they are choosing a school, they are supposed to look at those critical, where I'm sending my child. Is this child going to learn how to do this, how to use the hands? I remember I was at Bugema University, an Adventist University in Uganda, and I remember we could do some work, work program. You are slashing, you are pursuing a degree, but you are going there to slash, and we didn't even see it as punishment, to just work. So you look at those aspects. Is my child going to learn how to use his or her hands? Is my child going to learn how to use the head for critical thinking? Mm-hmm. Because education is supposed to keep you for critical thinking, critical analysis, synthesis, processing information, coming up with solutions to the problems of society. And of course, the heart that knows how to meditate, how to think about God, that God is the creator of heaven and earth. everything at the end of the day will be washed away. And then there's an eternity that remains. So we need to consider all those things. What is the final product? What is the big picture? Where will my child spend eternity? And which place can prepare the child for that eternity?
All right. Okay. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your insights. Let's pick it up tomorrow again as we try and navigate our way through these tough choices. Have a wonderful day further, Mfundisi.
You are most welcome, my brother. Have a good day, and our listeners, God bless you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.